I think they should be able to compete with Anaheim.
I would think so, too. And it's just a shame that things didn't work out sooner with Dubnyk.
Yeah.
I would have just loved to have seen what this team would have been about if you'd had Dubnyk there from day one. But this team was built for this run that we're going to hopefully experience.
Truthfully, I think a healthy Harding might have been that guy. I mean, he's 30 years old.
He obviously performed well.
That's one thing. I mean, a lot of people pointed the finger.
Could he have come back, though, with the issues he already had last year from, like, Christmas on? I mean, he didn't put skates back on. And then, of course, the injury this year.
That's a huge caveat. And I think that on one hand, you got to kind of prepare for something like that. On the other hand, I think they thought they had a good 30-year-old goaltender who could be healthy. The other thing, too, is, and I've said this with Kemper all along, I know everyone panicked when he let 2 goals in on 5 shots, and rightfully so. But I think you're pointing the finger here at Ben.
Right at Ben.
Who's ignoring?
Don't do that to me.
I didn't do it. Superstar did it.
I did. Because he was all in panic mode.
Yeah.
Oh, he was just all over the place.
Well, I'm a typical Minnesota sports fan, and first of all, we're passive aggressive. We're Minnesota nice to your face.
Sure.
We have gone through the game. We've been run through the gamut, whether it be the Vikings 15-1. Thanks, Superstar, for screwing that one up for us.
I didn't mean to, and I've already told everyone I'm sorry about that.
No, I'm kidding.
I have literally apologized for that like twice.
It wasn't your fault. We've seen the North Stars go to the Stanley Cup finals.
Blown out by Pittsburgh. Yeah.
And the Timberwolves, that whole Western Conference Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, it never ends good. It did twice for the Minnesota Twins in 87 and 91. And everybody's going to start calling up and go, what about the Lynx? They won 2 championships.
We're
talking about the 4 major professional sports franchises. Yeah. And we've just been used and abused and spit on and sat on and thrown to the trash.
If you follow Twitter from the writers during that Winnipeg game, people were like, the most Minnesota thing to happen would be this team crawling all the way back with all their prospects with Dubnyk and then not making the playoffs. What I told you guys over the phone was that when I was in Chicago is they do play better on the road. And I think for a team that's going to be seeded late, that's actually a great thing. Hopefully they can win those first 2 games and put themselves in a position where they just have to split at home and then find a win in the next 3 games. And it's hard to win on the road. And I think it's actually a better thing than if they were winning at home where you understood why it was. You know, they're coming out with energy. They're capitalizing on the 19,000 people, which keep in mind is like 1,000 over capacity, and they can't do it on the road. I'd rather see it where they're winning on the road. And then it comes down to a good start, and they need to figure it out. That's the leadership. I think that's on the leadership, and they need to figure out, hey, this is what we do in the first 5 minutes, regardless if we score or not, to get the crowd involved, make, almost intimidate these other players who are coming into a hostile environment, a hockey crazy market.
You got to get him going, but I am confused with why this team does not perform exceptionally well here at home. And I don't know what that is, because obviously playing at home in any sport is normally a slam dunk advantage, and it is just not the case. And this is a good team now, the Dubnyk, but still it sort of remains an issue for us. It's gotten a lot better.
Go ahead.
It's always been the case for the Minnesota Wild. Look at the playoffs last year. They won at home. And this year it's just been completely different. I just don't understand. I mean, it's 19,000. It's, for God's sakes, it's the home of the home ice advantage.
I know. Good branding.
I got a towel that says that.
Yeah.
I use it as toilet paper because I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
No, I really think that they can figure it out. And it comes down to the 2 keys for me for the Wild in the playoffs are those first 5 minutes. And I think maybe it's them getting overhyped. That's kind of what Vanek suggested if you read into his quote. And like I said, you got to settle down and just be like, hey, you know what? If we go out and play our game, we should be able to be competitive with any of these teams. And then it kind of comes down to, who kind of executes in the big moments. But the other thing, too, is the power play, as I mentioned before. That's something with the talent on this team. And I know that they're kind of a transition team, being that they're smaller, like to skate around the ice. But with the talent on this team, this should be a good power play, and right now is the time to turn that up.
How do you fix the power play?
I mean, it's tough. I think it's a little bit of a combination thing. I think it's getting into dirty areas. You look at that Chicago game where they scored. It was from the dirty areas.
But oftentimes they don't even take shots. There was a 5-on-3 advantage, and I want to say, I remember who they were even playing, but one of the guys didn't even have their stick. And they just didn't get any shots on goal, and that drives me insane. They're great at penalty killing. Unbelievable. First in the NHL, I believe, but I want to say 27th when it comes to actually scoring on the power play.
Yeah, I mean, maybe use Vanek's size a little bit towards the net. I'd use Dumba's shot a lot. I mean, I think, what I'd say is for hope there is that these, Granlund, Zucker, these guys, Coyle for sure, are willing to kind of get in the dirty areas. Parise always has. That's his track record. That's what he's all about. And they should, I think, Dumba is going to be kind of an X factor because, again, he's a young player that's developing. So if teams only saw him kind of earlier in the season or they've only seen him sporadically, they're not going to see kind of who he is because, really, he has evolved, really, I think, since that Calgary game where he went, you know, so essentially going home, a lot of pressure. I like to see that. I say this with Andrew Wiggins, too, who's a young player. I like those players that rise to the occasion, that they want that. And I think Dumba's actually, I hope, takes it to another level. I'm not saying he's even, you know, Scandella or Suter or any of this, but he's going to establish himself as a great young player here because I really do think he rises to the occasion.
Yeah, I love him, too. Tom Schreier, part of our Cold Omaha writing team. Go check out his new article at 105theticket.com entitled Why the Minnesota Wild Should Be Thinking About the Stanley Cup This Season. You're also one of the co-hosts for the Wake Up Call, Cold Omaha, Sunday mornings from 8 to 10. What do you have coming up this weekend on the show?
Zach Bennett, really interesting story. He really dug deep into kind of the development of Wiggins and Zach LaVine. He has, you know, shot charts, and he's going to introduce these hunting grounds, which is essentially where the players like to shoot from. It's not exactly a shot chart, but is related to that. He's a really good writer from Canisupis. We're trying to bring him aboard our crew, and so this is kind of a big show for him. He's going to be there the whole time. Obviously, we'll do some Twins, although that's depressing, and then we'll touch on Wild as well. So it'll be a fun show.
Yeah. May not be as depressing come Sunday. We are playing the White Sox, and they're not very good. They did spend a lot of money, but...
I will say with this, I think it was an overreaction. I think that team had to spend money because they didn't have anything in the farm system.
Sure.
And so I would argue, I think the Indians are kind of that sleeper, although they're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I think people know how good they are. But I'd still say, I saw that Detroit team, and I know that they've lost some players, but
look, it's
still
a good team. What is it, 2-7 or 2-6 in their lineup? It's unbelievable. Ian Kinsler, Miguel Cabrera, Martinez, Cespedes.
Which was, I thought it was a good pickup.
Herbert Blylevin calls Sepsidis.
That was not smart.
He called him Sepsidis for the entire game, I want to say the first game, in fact, which is interesting because we should talk about Herbert Blylevin next, Soup.
We can do that.
He said some things or tweeted out some things about Detroit.
Actually, I think I heard Murph's take on that.
He got in trouble.
It wasn't even a good, funny joke.
It was an overreaction by Michigan's governor and the team. And it was just stupid.
I'll tell you this, and I think Murph would tell you this too. I've been to Detroit before, and like I said, you kind of can picture how it would be a cool city. And really, most of that kind of blight you see is actually not what you would see from the ballpark. The ballpark is well situated within the city. And like I said, I mean, obviously it's struggling. There's no way around that, but...
It'd be
really
a great city if you could see it because you weren't running for your life afraid of being shivved.
I don't know.
Have you ever been shivved?
I have not been shivved, thankfully.
Well, let's try that as we hold you down and tickle you.
No, we're not using the shiv tickler.
Well, no, we're not going to do that. Not right now, anyway. But we're going to take a little break and come back and talk. Little Twins, the game. How's this going anyway? Right now,
they're winning 6-0.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a dominant performance. That's great. We'll come back and talk the talk a little bit about the Twins right after these messages.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. The Murray's got to the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
Night racing in the Lone Star State. The Duck Commander 500. Live from Texas Motor Speedway. Saturday at 5:30 p.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
And then the American League batting title. Joel Mauer, 2-for-5 so far in the series against Jeter. We're going to do this thing over again because I just it up. Oh, we're live. Well, I'm sorry for that.
Sorry for that. For being alive?
Why is it that your guy, Bert Be Home by 11, is that what you say? That's what you call him, right?
Yeah, Bert Be Home by 11.
He is always in trouble. And it's not like he's a troublemaker or a foul-mouthed guy.
He might be a foul-mouthed guy.
If you're in the press box, I was scared of him when I first went in there. Yeah, he's just swearing. And the funniest thing I've heard is this George Brett story where he talks about showering with George Brett.
What?
It's like, yeah, you can find it. It's somewhere on YouTube or something.
Showering with George Brett.
I swear to God, there was some weird story he had about that.
Are there swear words in it?
I think that's
probably where he put pine tar on his bat a little too high up. Too much pine tar.
He said some weird stuff, and I just don't know what. There's a certain charm to it, but it's just kind of goofy.
It's just old school.
Who was he showering with?
Jock.
George Brett. Yeah.
I played golf with George Brett and Greg Pryor from the KC Royals.
I'm going to feel bad if it's not George Brett, and I just tarnished his name. But I feel like there's something like this.
How in the world were those two Did he play with Brett at one point?
No. I don't remember.
Well, George Brett only played for the Kansas City Royals.
That's what I'm saying. It might be someone else. Yeah, he had some weird showering story, I feel like, years ago.
That would be a very weird showering story.
I mean, it was something along those lines. It was just a weird... If it's not on Google, it's not real.
Yeah, it's not on there. Fox Sports North, though, Twins color analyst Bird Bly 11 apologized yesterday.
Aww.
For his Twitter comments denigrating Detroit after a 3.5-hour rain delay in Comerica Park. During the delay, the Hall of Fame right-hander tweeted a photo from the downtown ballpark with the remark, quote, "It is the best I have seen downtown Detroit, though. Thank you, low clouds." That generated obviously immediate response, including one from Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, who replied to Blylevin's account saying, quote, "I think our view of downtown Detroit looks great." Before apologizing, Blylevin doubled down, tweeting, "Guess all you that responded haven't seen how ugly your downtown is."
Yeah.
After the Twins lost 7-1 to the Tigers, Blylevin issued an apology, which was super forced. He said, quote, "I apologize for my comments. The city of Detroit, it is an exciting time here led by the Ilitch family." The Ilitch family, obviously, the people that own the Detroit Tigers, the Twins, and Fox Sports North said, which I didn't get this. I thought this was this is an overreaction by the Twins and Fox Sports North, but a typical overreaction, Minnesota area. "We're disappointed with Bert Blylevin's comments on social media earlier today regarding the city of Detroit.
Who cares?
His attempt at humor during the rain delay certainly missed the mark, and in no way is reflective of the Twins and Fox Sports North's collective respect for the city of Detroit and the Detroit Tigers organization." Detroit is a dump.
Of course it is.
It's a dump, and
they know
get
it too.
Murdered.
They're just tired of hearing everybody talk about it that way. But they know.
In September, back in 2006, be home by 11. Blylevin suspended 5 games by the Twins and FSN when he used the F word twice in the clip we just played during a live pregame telecast that he thought was taped.
Well, come on, Bert. Come on, you got to grow up a little bit, buddy. I don't see any problem in doing that.
Why do people?
Why are they so serious about stuff?
Especially
on
Twitter.
TV, I can see why. When you're on TV, also.
But he didn't say it on TV.
I thought that during the rain delay, or was that just on Twitter?
It was just on Twitter.
Okay, I thought he was commenting also on TV.
We're on the radio, and I would rather do something completely disgusting. I'd rather eat centipedes than risk my life getting murdered in Detroit. I went to a Detroit Tigers game back in the old Tiger Stadium, and I swear to God, it was the dirtiest thing I'd ever... I thought it was Gotham City. Growing
their
up...
Their old stadium?
Just walking through, we parked our car.
Yeah, it's tough.
I went with my dad. I was young. I thought it was Gotham City because of watching the Batman movies and how dark all the steam's coming up out of the gutters and the things and the manholes.
It is a tough town. You do see that, and there was a ton of construction when I was down there. It's just, like I said, it seems like low-hanging fruit to start with. It's not like a great joke. And at the end of the day, it's Twitter. I mean, the thing is, you can say something pretty innocuous, and people are going to just jump all over you. And you got to expect that. You're in their city. You just insulted it.
You can say whatever you want to in this country.
I mean, if the Detroit Tigers came and their broadcast team made a joke about Minneapolis and how it's a small town or this or that. I mean, there aren't very many jokes you can make about Minneapolis or St. Paul anyway. Yeah. It's probably the cleanest metropolitan area in the United States of America.
I would put money on that.
San Diego might be up there, too. San Diego's
Seattle.
Pretty clean. Seattle, yeah.
Denver.
But for the Midwest, Minneapolis and St. Paul, we're so lucky to live here. Just a great place.
They're great cities.
If somebody were to take a shot at the downtown, I wouldn't overreact.
Yeah, but people would on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Of course they would, but would Governor Dayton get on and go...
I don't know. I mean, the biggest thing you hear is kind of coastal elitism, where people come here and say, well, you know, like, I'm glad I flew by this state, you know, every other time, you know, the road trip.
Yeah, what happens all the time. Yeah. Who cares? Take a chill pill.
You know, if people can't say that, what's it coming to?
Yeah.
If you can't say something about a city, like it sucks... Like Detroit, like I'm telling you right now, Detroit sucks. What are you going to do? I would tweet it right now. I don't give a flying rat's ass. Detroit does suck. I don't care if you're mad about it or not.
So does Cleveland.
And
so does Baltimore.
They do. Philadelphia.
But what,
so someone's going to get mad and say, take him off the air for saying that.
It's a Twitter thing. I wonder if he had just said it, you know, if it would have been any, or if it would have been worse. Like if he had just kind of made it offhanded
people
joke.
People make way too much out
especially
of
when you're involved with the Twins organization. They are the, in my opinion, I mean, I work with a bunch of the guys in the public relations office and they're fantastic. But if there's anybody super duper duper uptight, in old school, it's the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's a weird dichotomy. I always say it's a first-class organization that makes some bad baseball decisions. Yeah. And I think
they're so conservative.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to people, and I just kind of looking into it. I mean, even people from other teams off the record will say, yeah, it's a super conservative or is it super conservative organization. Mm-hmm. The other problem, I mean, you see it with their prospects. I just kind of wonder. Again, they kind of made everyone mad where, you know, if you have four losing seasons, the expectation is you have a young team and kind of the guys they kept around. Like I said, hopefully there's a method to their madness. I think you can't overreact to things in baseball because it's a slow-moving sport because it takes so long to get through the season.
Forever.
But, the bottom line is I think you have to show people that your prospects are growing and developing. Otherwise, on a draft and development team, you're going to have trouble, you know, selling tickets, basically.
It's too slow for me. I don't care what they do. It doesn't matter.
Twins win today, by
Twins
the way.
Twins win.
We'll
what is it? Six? Oh, yeah. We'll come back and talk about that right away. I mean, this is big. This is almost breaking news because we didn't expect them to win a game this year. So come on. But why did I say that? Was that too much?
No,
it probably was too much.
Am
I going to get in trouble? If I was to tweet that, would I be in some sort of trouble?
No, because you don't work for the Twins.
Oh.
They might not ever allow you in Target Field ever again, but...
Right. And I don't want that because I love the beer over there. Come on back, everyone. Radioactive Sports.
Your all-day sports talk leader. 105 The Ticket.
That's the center. Down for a hit. Maurer will run
there
center.
We go.
And the ball kicked in center field. And Maurer will not only make third base, but he's going to score. And the Twins finally are on the board.
That was
Marcus
yesterday.
Doinking a ball to a left center.
He doinked the ball. That was yesterday. My apologies. But Joe Maurer has a beard. That's what freaked me out.
I don't like the idea of him changing that up. I think it's going to be... Well, you know, he does need to change something. I mean, do something if it doesn't work anymore. Change something. How about Tommy Malone?
He's amazing. You want to hear a clip from today? Here we go.
The liner to right field, a base hit. Escobar around third. He's being waved in. Garcia's throw well off the line. And the Twins score a run in the first and take their first lead of the season.
Second run of the year. Holy smokes. And then they were just off like a rocket after that. 6-0 beating the Chicago White Sox. The much-hated Chicago White Sox. You'd say that they're the Green Bay Packers of the American League, wouldn't you?
I would. I certainly
it's
would.
It's the biggest rivalry. I've always disliked the Yankees more.
I hate the Yankees, but...
It's not even
in division rival.
You only see them twice a year and only once at Target Field, the Yankees, that is.
Yeah, yeah. So I think biggest.
But back in the day when the Twins used to actually get in the postseason, we'd play the Yankees and they'd always come to town. That was always a son of a gun because they'd always beat us. But
yeah, I mean, 163, though, I feel like you got a lot of White Sox there. I know the Tigers were there.
But at the same time, too, I remember when the Milwaukee Brewers were in the American League Central, and that was awesome. And then they came up. Why did they take them out? I mean, I get the fact that they're right next to the Chicago Cubs, but they could have the same deal going on with the White Sox. And
yeah. No, it's like basketball where the Brewers, actually really the Wolves should be in the Brewers division over there.
The Wolves?
I'm saying that, like Indiana and Cleveland, Chicago.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They should be over there.
And well, how about we flip the Milwaukee Brewers with the Cleveland Indians?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I've never really disliked any other team for the Central. It's like Big Ten. Like, I kind of root for Detroit once the, you know, Twins are out of it. I'd root for them or I'd root for Cleveland. You know, the Royals, the one year where they're good, you know, you kind of pull for them too.
Yeah. So. Joined by Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha. 2-for-6, Brian Dozier today. Dossier is like you like to call him. One run for him, one RBI. One strikeout. He's batting 176. Eduardo Escobar, 1-for-4. He's a new dad. He's scored 2 runs. Had a baby this morning. His wife, or his girlfriend, did. His girlfriend told him to stay at home or stay playing at the game.
That's
you can
a crazy
come later.
Story.
Torrey Hunter, 1-for-5 with a run. He was left 7 on base. 1-for-4. Kenny Vargas, 1-for-2. Joe Maurer. He had 3 walks.
Story of the day, though, is Tommy Malone.
Tommy Malone.
7.7 and 2/3 innings. Hits allowed.
They needed a lefty, and I know he had a good track record with the A's.
7 Ks.
Yeah, and he had the weird tumor in his neck last year. I think that's a guy who probably, I mean, I felt like he was going to get in there. The most confusing thing with that was that they moved Pelfrey, once, you know, you knew about Santana's suspension, they moved Pelfrey from the relief role, where I actually think he can have some success in the starting role, and he didn't see May, and then... Of course, with Nolasco's injury, which, you know, fortunately last year, we know with Nolasco, he hit an injury and wasn't very good. He went on the DL, and then, you know, hopefully we'll see Myron May. I think when you have a team.
May's coming up. May's probably going to start the home opener, they think, because Ricky Nolasco, or no, Irvin Santana, I think the second starter, was supposed to start the home opener on Monday here at Target Field against the Kansas City Royals, and supposedly it's going to be May.
May is the right person, though. I think people in Minnesota want to see young talent. If Blaine Boyer's good, that's great, but really what they want to see is Michael Tonkin. They want to see Trevor May, Alex Meyer, guys like that. And really, when you've lost 4 years in a row, you can't sit around and wait for things to happen. I understand that the team wasn't good from 93 to 2000, but this isn't the Metrodome era. This team spends more than they should be. You have Joe Mauer. There's no sense in wasting Joe Mauer's prime just because you want to wait a while for the prospects. I think you need to say, hey, are you ready to play and get them up there?
Did you sacrifice a live chicken or something?
What happened? I
would say that probably Joe Mauer is sacrificing Joe Mauer's prime years.
Because people like to say salsa.
That's why.
Oh my God, it's huge!
Let's put some salsa on his ribs so they hold up this year.
Excuse you.
Some rib sauce or something like that.
Dossier,
so
your
so he
guy.
Doesn't blow his
why do you call him
oblique.
Dossier?
That's his name, Dossier.
Brian Dossier. He had a long bomb.
Oh, he knocked one out.
Sixth inning.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's kind of a stud. But
no on, one out. But, yeah, he's hitting 176 right now.
So. Malone had the day.
Yeah.
But Joe Mauer did reach base 4 times the other day.
Yeah, and it was good base running in the last game when they scored. So, I don't know.
I give him full credit. I really do. I'm gonna give full credit to you,
well, thank
Tom
you.
Schreier, for being here
and
offering
up
your comments and your content to this show.
That's
and
great.
I want to have you come back on. Would you please come back someday?
I will.
And next time, bring beers or steak sandwiches.
Shots
or
of like
Tommy Reed. You guys are Tommy Reed's, right? For the
We'll be at Tom Reed's for every home game.
We'll be drinking down there. We'll get down there.
Yeah, get around. I'll be excited about it. I'm excited about wild hockey, playoff hockey. Yeah. So
we'll get some. We'll grab some tequilas and we'll have some salsa.
You don't want to know what I'll say. I'll be Burt Blylam for this show.
Oh,
if I got tequila.
Oh my God.
Well, we can't have that.
Why not?
Well, because we'd have to suspend him.
Oh. That's true. If you're gonna be
the Burt B. Home by 11 of this show, I mean, we have to send you home.
That's true. No, I'll be good. I'll be behaved.
You would know how to tweet responsibly. Yes.
Yeah.
Come back. It's Mike's break. That's all you need to know. Radioactive Sports.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
This guy is continuously failing drug tests. He has to be suspended because he's a loser. He's just an irresponsible mess.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket. Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You know what this is?
Well, it's AC/DC.
Of course it's AC/DC.
And because it's one of Mike's breaks. And I'll tell you what.
You know what the name of the song is, though?
This is not one of their off songs.
I think this was, didn't they make a Christmas album?
Yeah, they did. Like a Jingle Bells thing, Jingle Balls or something like that. There's a song called Bedlam in Belgium, but it sounds just like it.
Does he really talk like that in real life?
Brian Johnson does. Yeah, and so rich. So rich.
We're going to talk like this for the rest of the show.
I think he's got one of the biggest and most expensive car collections of anyone in the world.
More than Jay Leno?
Yeah, he would rival Jay Leno.
Wow.
I mean, he's got cars that are, I mean, first of a line of cars ever. It's amazing. They just had that on.
You're amazing.
I am. I find myself amazing. I mean, some of the different case scenarios that we have when we talk about draft choices, and we talk about some of these guys that were invited to town, you know, the 30 kids that were invited, I call them kids, I shouldn't, but the 30 players that we consider top prospects and or people that we need to talk to again to have an understanding with.
Mm-hmm.
A kid that might have an issue with being first, second, third time offense with smoking marijuana. I mean, Lomas Brown, did you see his comments?
No.
And he's a ESPN analyst, but he actually went on record saying, and he used to play for the Cleveland Browns, left tackle, and a Pro Bowler, is that he felt like maybe 50% of the NFL players smoke marijuana.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt it.
No, I wouldn't either.
Do you put this against these kids coming out like this?
But yes, because it's against the rules. And
It could, I mean,
especially if you're investing a high first-round draft pick in a kid, and they're going to be out 4 games, 6 games, 12 games, 16
Josh Gordon,
games.
Josh Gordon.
That's a big problem. And as long as it's against the rules, and it's against the law in most states, but it's against the rules of the NFL, and you have to play by the rules of the NFL if you're going to play in the NFL. My question to you is... And I'm teetering on this. Do you just, if somebody's testing positive for the NFL or for marijuana or getting in trouble, a la Jameis Winston or rumors of trouble, do you just absolutely steer clear? Because we've seen through the process of teams, Josh Gordon, for example, like you said, I mean, even Johnny Manziel, who had rumors of things going on. Jameis Winston scares me to death. Thank God the Minnesota Vikings have Teddy Bridgewater. We don't have to worry about trying to go out and find a quarterback again. But Dorial Green-Beckham, Marcus Peters, Randy Gregory, I say thanks, but no thanks. I'm just not interested. I don't care. You can have all the talent in the world, but this is a billion-dollar franchise, trillion-dollar industry, probably multi-billion-dollar industry. You got to stay away from those guys. In my opinion, how about you?
I'm of the same thinking, and I've a lot of people who have been scouting and reporting back. To people like Bill Polian, and I listen and watch the NFL Network constantly. I mean, I go to sleep with it on. Sometimes I wake up at 2 in the morning to go to the restroom and have to shut it off. But, I mean, it's on all night. And
how's your wife like that?
Oh, loves it. She sleeps like a rock. No trouble there. She doesn't even know it's on. But I would say that for the most part, what I'm hearing about Winston now is that he is a top sort of pick talent-wise, but he is not NFL-ready for off-the-field stuff. And some of the top guys are saying that he's not mature enough to play in the NFL right now.
We'll talk about Jameis Winston coming up in Sillier Side of Sports to wrap up the show, because you wouldn't believe how much the NFL has invested on spying on Jameis Winston or the collective franchises that are interested in drafting him. It's unbelievable. But at the same time, you look back and you go, okay, smoking weed, some trouble. The Minnesota Vikings wouldn't have drafted Randy Moss. And by all accounts, everything you've told me, Randy Moss, one of the most upstanding and kindest persons and greatest teammates you've ever had.
He really, I love Randy. I mean, I was able to get him to come on the radio with us, like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time he'd done radio in this town that I know of in about 6 or 8 years. And he came on, he was fantastic, and he was the guy that would spend time with kids or take care of the one. There was a family down in Mankato. He took care of the whole family from the time that he was down with the Vikings until he got out of here. And then after that.
He's still involved, I want to say.
He still takes care of the family down in Mankato. Little gal and her parents. But anyway, so he just had this thing for this little kid and her parents.
Completely
That's
misunderstood.
What he is. And if half the guys are smoking marijuana right now, then really, you just have to be smart enough to beat the test and when the test is being taken.
Yeah.
Because apparently they just go right back to it. Now, I didn't know that many were. I knew that some were. I knew that for a fact. I played 13 years. I knew that they were. But I didn't think that many.
I know somebody that, I don't want to name any names, but I know somebody that worked for the Vikings and said that there was one player in particular that would be toking up before every single game in the Metrodome.
I mean, that's amazing to me. But during my time?
No.
Okay. Afterwards?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised with that at all.
The guy does not play for the Vikings anymore. He was traded and then traded again, and then
he was a free agent. I'm not even surprised.
Know who that was.
I think a lot of them did because of the pain. I think they tried to manage pain.
Yeah.
And go face it. I mean, that's why it's used that way.
Yeah.
But I would say this: if you're smart enough to be or mature enough to know when the test is going. And you know when to smoke it and how to get by with the test, then we got a lot of players that are playing out there, apparently, according to Lomas Brown. But the kid, I like Gregory. Why do you weigh into it this much when that's all he's been caught for?
But
well, because
so,
you have
so
jobs. Because
times.
They're so stupid, they get caught.
But so many times, two times in Nebraska, and they stopped testing him because they needed him. And then
I know
once
it.
At the combine. It's just like,
it's unbelievable. You can't do that. You got to figure it out if you want to, protect your career. That's all I'm saying. Sillier Side of Sports.
Yeah.
True Superstar. We're going to wrap this thing up for the week. next.
One and done. 1 hour of basketball talk every Saturday morning at 10 with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press and Hardwood Rob.
Malik Ellison's a guy they really want, and he's the type of freshman that could come in. He might even start. I mean, he's that good. 6'6", the son of Never Nervous Purvis.
One of the all-time great nicknames, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you have Rick Pitino and Never Nervous Purvis in the stands at Minnesota games next year,
I'm cool with that.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 10. One and done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Well, you hear the music. You know what it is. I mean, we told you what it was going into the break, so you kind of knew, but come on. I mean, if you were just now rolling the dial and tuning in, number one, you missed an awful lot of really good show. Some really good radio. Some fun stuff. Brian Murphy, great. Marsh Hallberg, Debbie Lang. They were in with Hallberg Criminal Defense. They were fantastic.
I'm surprised we haven't been nominated for a Tony Award right now, to be honest. I mean, it was a heck of a... I mean, a lot of people doing a lot of different dances.
Oh, it's an amazing... We should have a camera in here to see some of the break dancing I was doing.
You were doing a lot of tuck dancing?
I've been tuck dancing a lot lately.
You should get in, Grammy? For the singing that we were doing?
It's an amazing thing, but I want to thank you for the assist on the break dancing. I lay on my back and I put my feet up and you spin me. And so that's really cool. I like that. It's a great way to do that. Did you see Madonna on Fallon last night? Speaking of dancing.
No, and I'm glad I didn't. Wow.
Terrible. Not good. No. She is washed up.
Fallon's hilarious. Did you see him behind the New York Yankees?
Behind home plate.
He was chugging beers. He knew he was on TV.
Of course he did.
He was chugging beers, and then there was like a foul ball or something. He freaked out because he thought he was going to die.
Well, he got one really close where he wasn't expecting it at all. The second one, he was ready for it. Why don't they have glass up there? Why don't they have...
They have nets?
No! It went straight over him. I mean, these are rocket shots.
They're protecting the nets. They're protected by nets right behind home plate.
These things were going right past him.
Ugh.
He jumped up on the second one, and people were laughing because they saw him by that time. Oh. He was on the big board, and he chugged a beer. Pretty funny. He's a funny guy, man. He's so talented.
Still your side of sports, ex-NFL cornerback Philip Buchanan. Loved him. Very fast. Good punt returner, too. Remember him?
What was his name again? Oh, did he play with Atlanta the Raiders?
He played in Atlanta for a while and the Washington Races.
They are the Races.
He wrote a book called New Money, Staying Rich, how easily it can happen for you to lose money in the NFL.
Hmm.
In the excerpt of the book, the former NFL cornerback talks about family members, particularly his mom, coming to him for money after he was drafted by the Oakland Raiders in 2002. Buchanan says his mother told him that he owed her $1 million for raising him. And he goes, well, that was news to me, who played 10 NFL seasons for
really?
Five teams.
Can you imagine? Really? I owe you a million.
He said, if my mom taught me anything, it's that this is the most desperate demand that a parent can make on a child. The covenant of having a child is simply that you give your child everything possible, and they owe you nothing beyond a normal amount of love and respect. There is no financial arrangement.
That is pretty well put. Do you agree with any of that or all of it?
Oh, I would say all of it.
I do too.
I don't have any children, but just knowing how my parents treat and love me and my brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have nieces, and I would say the same.
And you have
four kids that you would do anything for. I mean, an amazing father you are.
I appreciate that. Sometimes you never feel like you are sometimes, or that you let them down a few times.
And I think that goes with the two, though. But I think that is what makes you an even better father, because a lot of parents will just go, yeah, screw them.
Yeah, I know a guy, you know a guy, same one, who did when he signed his first big contract in the NFL, told his parents, I don't want you working anymore.
Good for you. I would do the same thing.
And he did give them a check for $1 million.
Well, yeah, I would do the same thing. I don't know. I mean, it depends on obviously how much I made, but my parents would never do that. He went on his book that this is Philip Buchanan, by the way, New Money, Staying Rich. He said, quote, I offered to buy her a comfortable house in my name for her to live in. This way she wouldn't have to take out any loans or put my little sister or brothers in a situation where the roof over their heads could be taken away. She'd move out of the house that was too big for her and into this new one. Instead, she opted for $15,000 cash. She said, no, I'll take $15,000 cash. I told her that if I gave her $15,000 cash, not to come calling when she got into trouble. Needless to say, she ended up calling, and what's worse, she ended up losing the house. In his book description from his website, he warned that fun friends and family will view you as an endless ATM. He also wrote about family members asking for money to get something fixed, but the things would never get fixed after Buchanan wrote them a check. Like cars, my car's broken, I need to get it fixed.
I've done that for people.
When Buchanan later offered to pay for repairs directly to the company doing the work, all of a sudden family members weren't so interested anymore.
And then you get out of football and they care less.
They stop calling.
They don't see you. They don't come up anymore.
The purpose, obviously, of the book is for younger players to understand sometimes you just need to say no.
It sounds like it's pretty accurate. I know, or I'm in the same situation sometimes with those kind of details. Those situations, right?
You and I have talked off the air, and you've told me some stories that I don't know if you feel comfortable about telling on the air, but my God. I mean, how do people take any pride in themselves for some of the things that they asked you for?
Oh my God. It's crazy.
I mean,
I'd be willing to buy that book. It sounds like he's spot on.
I'm going to do my best to try and get Philip Buchanan on because the book sounds amazing. I can't wait to ask what else his mom and family members had asked for.
Interesting.
Which is interesting because I only ask you for $1,000 every week, and I feel like that's not that big of a deal.
But you know, and it's the deals that when you're going to pay it back.
It's been going on for years. Pay it back.
Well, obviously, that's the biggest problem is that you promised you would and you haven't yet.
Who did?
You did.
I promised I'd pay it back?
Well.
You played in the NFL, and now you're a big-time radio DJ.
Well.
I don't even need to pay it back. You just have cash coming in like crazy.
That's not how it went down. That's not how we had the agreement. No. You and I have had some fun with bets before in the past, and that's been about it. But you just haven't paid off your steak and lobster yet. that's an interesting piece, though. We got to follow up on that.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get him on the radio and talk to us because that's awesome. Stephen Ridley, the Vikings were chasing him for just a little bit. Former New England Patriots running back became a free agent this offseason.
He was easy to catch.
Yeah.
He had an ACL.
Yeah. Received little to no attention from the team who once drafted him and who he sports the logo of and his right arm. The New England Patriots got a big old tattoo right there. Feeling just a bit underappreciated by the Patriots, Ridley took things down the Massachusetts Turnpike. He is now signing a one-year contract with the Jets. And so he won your contract. That means, need to get a Jets tattoo right by the New England Patriots tattoo on his arm. Is that the dumbest thing you've ever done? I mean, you don't have a Vikings tattoo,
no,
do you?
No.
Would you ever get one?
I don't think so. I played for so many NFL teams. I played for six.
But you played 9 years for the Vikings, right?
I played 9 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've considered a timeline, something sort of
that's
a wraparound timeline with all the emblems.
Yeah.
But I was proud to play for all of them.
Of course.
I was lucky to play in the NFL. I was lucky, and I felt honored. That was all I ever wanted to do when I was a kid, and so I'm thinking maybe not all that, but maybe a little NFL shield somewhere on my eagle on the arm here.
I like him.
But it was quite an honor for me to find my way in the NFL. I don't know. I lucked into it.
Jameis Winston, now one of the most scrutinized prospects in NFL history. According to Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report, our favorite website, security officials and scouts have followed Winston after practices around campus and even when Winston has traveled to visit friends and relatives off campus.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
In this day and age, that dates me the way I said that. in this day and age, I sound like an old frumpy, but are you kidding? The kind of money they spend and the kinds of busts that we've had just recently in the NFL with some of the top people. It's worth putting someone out on them just to kind of go watch them. It's a big investment. Huge investment.
I agree with you, but how weird. One team executive estimated that teams in total have spent $5 to $7 million investigating Jameis Winston. While it remains likely but not yet a lock because we hear back and forth and you don't know if it's a smokescreen, I've heard that they might even discuss a contract with Jameis Winston, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously, with the first pick, going back and forth between he and Marcus Mariota. I don't even know. Teams don't trust him.
Well,
it's harsh, but it's true.
They just can't. Well, with a track record like that, and with so much stuff that was pending there at Florida State for the last 2 or 3 years of his time there, I mean, you have to really watch this guy close. He's truly a talent. He's a great talent. You listen to him talk, though, and it's like, okay, there's a little boy in there still. There's a little tiny guy in there that just he doesn't have any boundaries. He literally is not mature enough yet. And as one of the articles that I read earlier today said, he's just not mature enough to play in the NFL because of his off-field stuff.
Well, it's funny you say that because his lawyer probably wants to take these comments back on Twitter, but now it's a little bit too late. He's saying, lawyer's name is Cornwell. saying he's ready to be an NFL player on the field, but he's not ready to be an NFL player off the field. If that was my lawyer,
that was the same thing I saw.
If my lawyer said that, he would no longer be my lawyer.
And Bill Polian saying the same thing. And I think that that guy would know. I would think that he's in the Hall of Fame because of his assessment of talent and being able to get him signed and sealed for training camps. But no, $5 to $7 million for God knows how many teams have been looking at him. So that's an accumulative figure of the money that they're spending to try and investigate him. But can you imagine trying to lock that guy into, you know, a five-year deal or a 4-year deal with an option? I mean, that's a lot of money.
At the number one overall draft pick, a face of your franchise, you're going to have to put a guy on him like the Dallas Cowboys did with Dez Bryant. All the
and
trouble.
Pac-Man Jones, yep. Too.
Heck of a day. Twins won. St. Louis Blues. Wild play tomorrow. Timberwolves tonight. Heck of a weekend. I'll meet you back here on Monday.
I'll be back in the saddle again. Play a little Aerosmith for me. But I do have the last and the best part of the show coming up right here and right now. The true superstar is Army Sergeant Jason M. Swindell. 24 years of age of Cabot, Arkansas. He was assigned to the 1st Battalion, 64th Armored Regiment, 2nd Heavy Brigade Combat Team, 3rd Infantry Division, Fort Stewart, Georgia. He died September 20th in Panjway, Afghanistan, of injuries sustained when he was attacked by a rocket-propelled grenade while on mounted patrol. So you have to please do me a favor, a big favor, Ben and I both, and promise that you'll think about this young man and what he was doing for you and I throughout the weekend. If you're a person of prayer or not, just give it some time and think about this kid, Army Sergeant Jason M. Swindell.
In the Kolkogren,
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.